Hi, I'm Vicki Griffin, and welcome to Living Free, Finding Freedom from Habits That Hurt. In previous episodes, we've been exploring the roots of addiction and the wonderful power that God has made available to overcome addictions and form healthy habits. We've looked at freedom keys, lifestyle links for better health, and developing an internal orientation for success. But in this segment, our focus is on the golden gift of connections with others and with God. So let's start with a personal story that's truly compelling.
So I was brought up in a home in South Texas, in a divided home. My mom was a Christian and is a Christian. My father was an alcoholic. He had other drug habits, and he was in and out of prison most of our lives. That had an effect not only on me, but my brothers. Out of my seven siblings, five of us went to prison. And that affected me growing up, and that's the lifestyle we chose to follow. But as I grew up, realizing that I didn't have a father to lead me, to teach me, once I had my son, I believed my addictions, I could put them away, I could stop, my son will help me get through growing up. But it didn't happen. I didn't have the willpower to quit. The alcohol, the cocaine, the marijuana, and things that just attach with it, the lifestyle. And then my father died. And that was like a waking moment for me. When he died, I realized that first of all, I didn't have a father to lead me, to tell me, son, this is right, this is wrong. And now he's not there anymore, so there's not gonna be no hope for him to ever be that. But then I started reading the Bible. The Bible led me to believe in a heavenly father, a father that would instruct me, that would teach me what to do, how to behave, how to treat my wife, my children, others, my neighbors, and that I had purpose in life. Without studying the Bible, praying, communion with God, there was going to be no chance of victory in my life. The things that really stand out to me now, that the lifestyle that is being chosen to maintain that, is communion with God. It's a healthy eating, healthy drinking lifestyle that a vegetarian diet, you want to call it, and family time, family life, sharing our testimony. That's really what's helped me stay away from those things. But the power of God, when I realized that I cannot stop these things, I had to surrender. And that's the hardest thing, is to surrender. Once I surrendered, I had that prayer to Lord, take these addictions away that I cannot stop. Miraculously, he took it away. If it wasn't for me praying that, because I had been trying all these other things, it would have never happened. But he did it. Those are the easiest things that he can take away, is the drug addictions, the alcohol abuse. Those are easy for him to take care of. We have to come to him. The hardest thing is the character that needs to be changed in us. And there is hope. For those that think that there is no hope, that there is nowhere to go, as long as we're breathing, we're alive, we're conscious, there is hope. We have to come with grips that, first of all, acknowledge that we have a problem, desire something better, and then surrender. So my advice to anybody that is in that position is to seek out people that are Christ-centered. Go to your church. Go surround yourself with people that are Christians, that truly care about you, and to reveal that Christ loves each and every one of us as much. He loved us so much that he died for our sins. But it didn't end there. He resurrected to continue fighting the battle for us. And we have to share that. I was in prison for 9 years in two sections. I went for 3.5, then I did the rest the second time. So I was given a chance to get out, reform, and it didn't work. And when I did, I started reading period in the Bible, because I was never a reader. No, I was in prison when I was 18, so I was not a reader. So the second time around, I decided just to read, and started reading, I'm not going to say children's book, but teenager books, because I wasn't a good reader. I didn't finish high school. Then I moved into bigger books, but I started reading the Bible there, but not as to reshape my life. I read the Old Testament as just as a history, as a story, but I did not become a Christian in prison. Prison doesn't make us, most of us, better people. It makes us worse, wiser to the crimes and... But what it did show me was that there was many people in there of diverse beliefs, yet you know, there was something missing. I was with Satanists, with Wiccans, with Muslims, with Buddhists, and I lived with these people. These people had life sentences. So there was a teaching moment in each of those times with each and every one. But no, I found Christ out here. It's harder to find Christ, in my opinion, out here in a world that's fast-paced. So much is going on. But I found Christ out here when my dad died. Once he died, I said, I have nobody to, in future life. You know, we are parents now to continue teaching our children. I don't care how old they are. We're always going to be there to answer their questions, and there's nobody to answer mine. But I found God, my Father, to do that for me. If it wasn't... It was him being gone, really what shaped me to, who's going to teach me? I felt lost. Anything I did was a failure, but it's a life-changing moment that I won't take back. I lost one father, but I gained another. Now I'm a carpenter. I am almost at the point of getting my license. And making around $60,000 a year for a convicted felon, I think that's pretty good. And it's only going to grow. But only continually living in Christ can any of that function. I have the blessing of going into people's homes and just being in there as I'm working in their homes, having the music I like, which is gospel music, hymns and all these things, it attracts people to trust in me, to confide in me and to open up to me. And I've had the blessing of fellowshipping with other Christians. So it's been a blessing. You know, I used to think that in order to have fun, you had to have a beer. You had to have, you know, a joint or whatever it is, the thrills that we chase. But there's so much joy in just everyday life, from waking up, and I'm reading my Bible, and my son comes out and sits next to me while I'm reading or while I'm praying. It's joyful. Coming home at the end of the day, it's joyful to see my family. Or just taking a walk. Simple things are bring so much happiness that we didn't have before. I know that no matter how the day will treat me, I have a hope in Jesus Christ. No matter what comes our way, whether we're the pandemic, divorce and families, the loss of people in our lives, or the guy that just cuts me off, you know, God gives me that peace and that hope that He will soon come and take His people back. When we are broken, we are just selfish in a sense that all I care about is me, not even then my girlfriend Alyssa and I. It was just we were there to please our selfish needs. It fits our, you know, we'll get by together, we'll make it work. you got somewhere to live. It was selfishness, just using each other. But compared to what God does for us, what he did for us through Christ, really changes our outlook on that, how we are to give for others. That sense of those treasures that we pile up in heaven, the small things that we do for others, it's just a blessing. The random acts of kindness when God's Spirit, you know, touches us to feel compassion for somebody. Well, back in the day, it was more like, I don't care. I don't care about nobody else. But seeing what the love of Christ, not only what he did at the cross, but what he does through people that have come to my life, how much they have showed me Christ's love, just overwhelms me with a feeling of I have to pass that on. You can't hold it. It's like a welling fountain to give others the good news, but also to help others in need. My message to those that feel that they're lost, there's no hope for them. I've seen the worst of worst where I've been. And if God could drag me out of that mess, he could do it for you. We just have to look for him. He will hear us. And he will work wonderfully. It took years for him to work in my life. But he's so patient, loving and tender that he knew his timing. And he will do it.
When we come back, we'll talk about the topic for today, connections, why relationships matter. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you for watching Hope Channel's production of Living Free. We invite you to purchase a copy of Vicki's book, Living Free, Finding Freedom from Habits That Hurt. This colorful, information-packed volume contains practical tools for building mental, physical, and spiritual strength while overcoming bad habits for good. Enjoy recipes and personal stories in an easy-to-read format. For more information as well as free resources, visit lifestylematters.com or call the number on your screen.
Welcome back. Let's delve into this idea of connections and why relationships really do matter. Who needs friends? We all do. Addictions are isolating, and I know this from experience. And our world is constantly experiencing hardship, including a pandemic that has caused an explosion of loneliness and isolation. As a result, we're seeing an exponential increase in life-destroying addictions of all kinds. The truth is, we're hardwired for connections. Friends. Who needs them? Well, we all do. Have you ever felt the need of a friend? Someone to share your joys and lend a listening ear when trouble comes? Social connectedness is vital to our health. In fact, social connectedness is linked to longer, happier lives, fewer mental as well as emotional problems, less depression, and better overall general health and longevity. Even daily casual interactions help us to develop empathy, sound judgment, and perspective. These interactions give us an opportunity to refocus outside of ourselves, think about the lives and challenges of others instead of exclusively our own. Have you ever had a brief interaction with a stranger that just lifted your spirits? Especially in our culture today, we need to seek these small but important interchanges. I know that I look for ways to bring some encouragement even into the lives of strangers in a casual encounter. It's the culture that we live in. It's what people need. So you can not only be an agent of cheer, but an angel of change and encouragement, even if the encounter is brief. God created us for relationships. On the sixth day of creation, God created man and a special companion and friend, woman. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis, when God created man, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." God has always been relational. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. one in unity, one in love, and one in purpose. But I love this beautiful promise for those who are alone. In Psalm 68, verse 6, it says, "Those without friends, God puts in families. He makes himself families like a flock." This is God's plan for healing, for giving back that which may be broken in our homes and in our lives. You are not friendless, you are not forsaken, and you are not forgotten. You are invited into God's family. No one is left out. As his followers, we're called to fulfill his divine purpose of love and healing to each other. You can be that one that reaches out to that person within your sphere of influence. Now, I love this section because if you're naturally an introvert like I am, you need some practical tips for improving social skills. So we're going to talk for a few minutes about the how-tos of hello. Number one, show up. That's a big step for some people. Don't stay away from that potluck or picnic. The more people see you, the more they're going to be inclined to want to get to know you. And this is really interesting because it's called an exposure effect. In the same way that if you buy a red car, all of a sudden you start noticing all the red cars on the road. So just showing up, even if people don't talk to you, they are going to rate you as friendlier. Now, we can open our mouths and ruin the whole thing. But the point is, you've got some bonus points just by showing up. So studies reveal that just showing up at social functions on a regular basis increases likability. The more times we see each other, the more connected we become. It's called that exposure effect. So don't shy away from that picnic or potluck. Show up for the start of some satisfying friendships. Take an interest. Create a comfortable environment by listening, taking an interest in others, and making them feel special. I've had to learn this because in our family, everybody talked at the same time. We never listened to each other. And so being intentional about actually listening to people is a skill that we need to develop and improve. So forming a friendship begins with the principle that a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Be the first to say hello. Take a genuine interest in the other person. Remember names and interests. Being curious about someone helps take the edge off shyness. So learn to be a good listener. And don't spill your beans. I know this from social work. When people share too fast, too much, they're going to disappear. So share general interests first, taking time to cultivate each level of friendship. Don't listen or share everything about your life in the first 5 minutes that you meet someone. So be discreet in how much you share when you first meet someone. Start with a soft conversation. Oh, what about food, faith, music, hobbies, your work? As your friendship grows, conversations may become deeper. Take time to cultivate each level of friendship, like enjoying a fine meal and its courses. Be yourself. Don't create a virtual identity. This is so popular online, these faux celebrities. Being genuine, open, and honest about yourself and your aspirations, that's really refreshing. One of the drawbacks of internet social sites is that participants tend to create a virtual identity devoid of the nuances and nonverbal cues that are present in real face-to-face encounters. And so it becomes an artificial world, and it actually increases depression and anxiety. So be open, honest, and clear about who you are, but by degrees, and what your intentions are. Being genuine is really what life is all about. We have to learn to be realistic. No one friend can meet all your needs. Appreciate that your friends are different. They're going to have different strengths and different weaknesses, just like you. No single friend or loved one can meet every need at all times or be there for you whenever you need them. And remember, they're not mind readers. Keep your social circle wide enough to embrace friends with different personalities and attributes. That helps us grow. Iron is refined by iron, and man is made better by contact with his neighbor. Remember that friends cannot read your mind. They can't agree with you on everything as much as we would like that. Be accepting. A healthy friendship means giving as well as taking. It means forgiveness and challenging one another to grow. Entering into a friendship means accepting the whole person. No one is perfect. We throw away friends like we throw away a toaster the minute a wire goes off. Commit to learn and grow together through the ups and downs of life. There are no problem-free candidates. So be invested. Shared experiences add meaning to life, but they take time, even a lifetime, to grow and develop. Shared experiences such as births, weddings, trips, tragedies, successes, failures, illnesses, meals, and even everyday activities such as chores or walking together or shopping add meaning, memories, and value to life. Some of my best times with my friends are just going for a walk. The Bible shows us the principle of carefully choosing our close social relationships. It's been said that you're going to be like the five people you hang with. The Bible says, go with wise men and be wise, but he who keeps company with the foolish will be broken. Science is affirming the central need that we have for spiritual nurture in our lives. What is spiritual well-being? Spiritual well-being, this is in a critical care nursing journal, spiritual well-being is the center of a healthy lifestyle. It's been said that we're not at peace with each other because we're not at peace with ourselves. And the reason we're not at peace with ourselves is because we're not at peace with God. It's time to make peace, a peace that passes understanding. And in the same way that connecting with others creates a vital two-way intimate relationship, a growing relationship, so does connecting with God. I love this promise, this list of promises that God gives us. When you connect with God as He's waiting to connect with you, He's going to forgive you. He's going to forgive you not only from the guilt of sin, but from its grip. He'll forgive you. He'll create new desires in you because you'll be walking with Him. He will empower you to do what He says to do. He will guide you and He will save you. Connecting with God through His Word, which is the living Word, the Bible, will help you discover the depth of His love for you. It will help you discover your true value and His purpose and plan for every day of your life. People who are stuck in addictions or bad habits, they feel that they've lost the power to do what they know is right. And it's true. But once that power is reharnessed, God is going to weaponize your weaknesses and make them a ministry. And amazing changes will take place in your life. When you connect with God, you are going to actually learn from your mistakes. That old saying I really like, you're only young once, but you can be immature forever. So you are going to learn and you're going to grow. You're going to grow down in your roots with God and grow up in His fullness. You will mature in His character. Mistakes are turned into victories, defeats into determination. It's God's purpose to lift the veil of darkness that has hindered your joy and your purpose and has destroyed your life. God knows your need. He knows your need for Him and for others. Won't you accept His invitation to reach you and to teach you? It's a daily date that you don't want to miss. After the break, we're going to check in with our special guest, Alex Martinez. He's going to give us a live update on what he's doing now.
You're watching just one of 13 compelling Hope Channel episodes of Living Free. As your heart is touched with the practical teachings in this series, you may want to start your own Living Free support group. Free discussion guides correspond to each episode, along with other helpful handouts. Just visit lifestylematters.com and click on Free Resources, or call the number on your screen to learn about better habits for a better life.
Welcome back to the program. Earlier, we heard the amazing testimony of my friend Alex Martinez. And guess what? He's with us here now live. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing blessed. Thank you very much for asking. How about yourself?
I'm good, and it's just great to connect again. And I am so thankful that you are here with us on this particular topic, connections. You grew up isolated. Your dad just really was not available for you. You spent some time in prison and in solitary, and you're a quiet kind of a guy. How have connections grown you with God, with others? How has that transformed the way you look at the world and the way you show up to be at these different events and opportunities that God opens up for you?
Yes, well, unfortunately, I did grow up like that. But the blessing of God coming into my life, showing me how much I needed Him, has shown me how much we need each other as Christians. And I've developed friendships with not only with you, but with others that really keep me connected and thriving in the Word of the Lord, in healing, and in sharing that healing with others. So it's just we as Christians are meant, as human spirits, are meant to socialize. And keeping a circle of fellow Christians has really blessed me, not only just having friends, but in guidance. In where I didn't have it at growing up, I have it now.
Isn't that just incredible the way God has just remade your entire way of thinking about connecting with people? So you are growing, you're continuing to grow. When you face hard times, then you're not running away by yourself, getting into drugs. What do you do when everything goes wrong and it feels like you haven't got a prayer? You know that Jesus is there, but what do you do next?
Well, after prayer, I go to my wife, who is also a baptized Christian in our church. I go to her. Then I have a special friend that I confide in. I got a few of them, and I seek advice from those that have been through this before, because I know I'm not the only one.
You're amazing. Your life is amazing. Congratulations on your brand new building license. We are all so happy for you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for Alex's story. And Alex's story can be anyone's story, because the weaker we know ourselves to be, the stronger you are, and the stronger we become in your strength. Bless each person that is watching this program right now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray. We thank you. Bless Alex's life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you so much for joining us today.